I want to talk to you this morning about praying to the Holy Spirit. And we passed out some prayer cards, so if you didn't get one, get one afterwards. We have extra. This was from Pentecost 2014. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but our Archbishop consecrated us all, the entire Archdiocese, to the Holy Spirit at Pentecost 2014. So you have been consecrated to the Holy Spirit by your shepherd and pastor, Archbishop Carlson. So we are his. We belong to the Holy Spirit. We are given over to be gifted, to be blessed, to be used by the Holy Spirit. And a key to receiving and cooperating and moving and working with the Holy Spirit is daily prayer to the Holy Spirit. And I didn't just make that up. It's in the Catechism, paragraph 2670 in the Catechism. Paragraph 2670 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, the Church invites us to call upon the Holy Spirit every day, especially at the beginning and the end of every important action. We're invited by Holy Mother Church to pray every day to the Holy Spirit. And what I'm going to speak about this morning is praying to the Holy Spirit every day, praying for the Holy Spirit every day, and praying with the Holy Spirit every day. Praying to the Holy Spirit, praying for the Holy Spirit, praying with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Can you say that with me? Praying to the Holy Spirit, praying for the Holy Spirit, praying with the Holy Spirit. That's because if you're like me, you're getting older and your memory is just not like what it once was. So if I get you to repeat it, you might remember more of it. A little trick. A great model of praying to the Holy Spirit every day is St. John Paul II, St. John Paul the Great. Early in his pontificate, he had a meeting, and several people involved in the International Catholic Charismatic Renewal came to visit with John Paul II. And they wanted to share with him the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit was doing through this movement to renew their lives, to renew the church, and they began to tell him about this movement. And he really surprised them because he says, I've always been part of your movement. And I'm sure they were thinking, Holy Father, this is a new movement in the church. You might be mistaken, right? How can you say, they didn't say this, of course, they were in awe, right, of John Paul II. But I'm sure they're thinking, like, I don't think so. But he explained in what sense he could say, I've been part of your movement for years and years and years. And so he told them this story. And he said, when I was a boy, I think it was when he was 12 or 13, he was a boy and he was struggling with his math homework. And that kind of surprised me, because if you've read some of his writings, and you think, this is a brilliant theologian, philosopher, and think, as a kid struggling with his homework, right? And he goes to his father. His mother had passed away already. He goes to his father, who raised him, and he says, Dad, I'm having trouble with my homework. And his father says, I'm going to teach you an important lesson. I'm going to teach you to pray every day to the Holy Spirit. And John Paul II told that story, and then he looked at these representatives of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal that were meeting with him. He looked at them, and he says, from that day to this, I have obeyed my Father and prayed every day to the Holy Spirit. I want you to think of that. A young boy struggling in school, praying every day to the Holy Spirit. That young boy becomes a priest who prays every day to the Holy Spirit. That priest becomes a bishop who prays every day to the Holy Spirit. That bishop becomes the Pope, who prays every day to the Holy Spirit. That Pope becomes a saint. This is the power of daily prayer to the Holy Spirit. Now that was his vocation. We have our vocation. The Holy Spirit, as we pray to him every day, is going to bless and perfect and transform us to live our vocations fully and fruitfully. For our blessing, the blessing of others, and for the glory of Jesus Christ. There's a very, very simple prayer we can pray, and this is also in the Catechism. The next paragraph, 2671, speaks of a traditional form of petition to the Holy Spirit is invoking the Father through Christ our Lord to give us the Consoler Spirit. That's a prayer for the Holy Spirit. But it says also that we can pray directly to the Holy Spirit. And the Catechism in that paragraph says, the simplest and most direct prayer is, Come, Holy Spirit. The most powerful three-word prayer you will ever utter. Come, Holy Spirit. Just those three words. Just pray that with me together out loud. Come, Holy Spirit. Again, come, Holy Spirit. One more time. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray that prayer throughout the day. In moments of anxiety, come, Holy Spirit. Driving in traffic, come, Holy Spirit. When you're meeting with someone, come, Holy Spirit. As you open up the scriptures, come, Holy Spirit. As you receive bad news, come, Holy Spirit. When you receive good news, come, Holy Spirit. And every moment, in every encounter, continually inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives. We want to pray to the Holy Spirit because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to raise us up above the downward pull of sin and temptation. There's a beautiful passage in Romans 8. St. Paul says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. That's Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So he talks about sin as working in our world like a law. It's like the law of gravity. And it's just there, continually pulling us down. And we find ourselves tripping. We find ourselves stumbling. We find ourselves being pulled down. I don't know if any of you have had this experience that I've had where you go to confession and you're confessing the same thing over again. Probably none of you have gone through that, but maybe you know somebody that has. Right? Now, I heard a priest say, he says, hey, at least you're not adding new sins to the list. So that's the something good there, you know? And at least you're still fighting against that sin, right? So it's really not a bad thing. You're still confessing it. You're still fighting against it. But that's experiencing that gravity. That just I get pulled down again to that same sin. How does that keep happening? And what can lift me up to overcome that sin? And in that sacrament of confession, I'm receiving a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And through prayer, I need to just keep receiving that power of the Holy Spirit that breaks that downward law of sin and death pulling me down. And there's a beautiful analogy to this that St. Paul did not know about when he wrote this. And that's how we break the law of gravity through a higher law of aerodynamics. See, Paul didn't know about this stuff, right? But I know about it because I flew to Chicago not too long ago. And here I'm on the runway in this heavy metal plane. And I don't know if you've flown recently, it's packed with people, crammed in these little tiny seats. So here's all of us fat people in this big, heavy plane, and the law of gravity says you can't fly. But there's a higher law, the laws of aerodynamics. Lift that plane above the law of gravity, and we are flying over Illinois into Chicago. The law of aerodynamics, there's a couple elements to it, and one is lift. Lift is what enables the plane to be lifted up instead of pushed down by the airflow. The way that works is the shape of the wings. So the plane is built in a very specific shape. A few years ago, we were in Dayton and the Wright Brothers Museum, and you could see where they experimented trying to get those wings just to the right shape. Well, this is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes the shape of our lives. He reshapes our lives into the image of Jesus. And so as we pray to the Holy Spirit every day, He is shaping us day by day by day to become more like Jesus. And as you grow to become more like Jesus, you find you can forgive. That temptation to be bitter, to be resentful, you are freed from that as the Holy Spirit makes you more like Jesus in His forgiving, loving heart. But this is a process, right? I wish it was instant. But it's a process. And that's the importance day by day by day. Holy Spirit, today, shape me a little bit more to be like Jesus. And over time, my life begins to have that cruciform shape, where my life is shaped after the image of Christ who pours Himself out from the cross. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, I find myself able to pour myself out to others. The other law of aerodynamics, there's lift, it's about the shape, but even with the right shape, you need energy, you need power. So it's thrust is the other aerodynamic law. There has to be some kind of thrust, some kind of energy, whether it's propellers or jet engines, something that can push that airplane up and through the air. And so this is what we need, is this twofold work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit reshaping our lives more and more into the shape of Jesus' life. We also need power and energy. I heard someone say, they said, I can resist anything except temptation. Right? That's the point of it. The temptation strikes some weak point, and we need the energy and the power and the strength that the Holy Spirit gives, that we find an energy to resist that temptation. To say no to the voice of the enemy, first of all, to discern it and recognize it, then to resist it, and to say yes to the voice of God, calling us to love, reminding of His love for us. Through this energy, this power of the Holy Spirit, I find myself able to forgive where I couldn't forgive before. I find myself able to love where I couldn't love before. I find myself able to resist the devil where I couldn't resist before. Because there's this energy, there's this strength, there's this power being released in my life. It's there through our baptism and our confirmation. It's like the jet engine is there, but we have to turn it on, and we turn it on through daily prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. We're just opening ourselves to this power of the Holy Spirit to flow into our lives. So praying every day to the Holy Spirit to free us, to lift us above the downward pull of sin and death, to lift us up to share in His life and holiness by walking with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory and honor and praise of the Father. So that's praying every day to the Holy Spirit. We also need to pray every day for the Holy Spirit. This is praying for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us that we might fulfill our ministry as the lay faithful. What's the opposite of a priestly vocation? The laity. You know, a lot of people would say, what's the opposite of a priestly vocation? They'd say a married vocation. But that's not 100% correct. It's the lay vocation. It includes married people. It includes single people. It includes widows. It includes all kind of people. By our baptism and confirmation, we are the laity. We are the lay faithful. We are the front lines of the church. And as the laity, we are called to evangelize the world and transform the world. I don't know about you. I don't know how to do that. So I pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. I'm a little afraid to do that sometimes. So I pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, an anointing of the Spirit comes upon me. This is what Jesus said prior to Pentecost in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That is the call to evangelize and transform the world. And we don't do it in our own ability. We don't do it in our own wisdom. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it through the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And I want you to notice very carefully that word. He says, you will be my witnesses. Sometimes we're afraid to evangelize because we don't understand our role in evangelization. So if you think of that word, witnesses, that's an image from the courtroom. So in the courtroom, you have the judge, you have the lawyer, and you have the witness. The jury and others, but we're just going to focus on those three, right? So when I hear this call to evangelize, I think I'm supposed to be the judge. So my job is to tell people what terrible, rotten, horrible sinners they are. Anybody tried that one? That is the least successful method of evangelization, right? But that's not our job. He didn't say, you will be, the Holy Spirit's power will come upon you and you will be judges. He doesn't say that. So then we think, well, maybe I'm supposed to be the lawyer, right? To evangelize means I have to be able to argue and convince people and persuade people. And I hate arguing. How many people have found themselves annoyed by the recent debates we've seen on television, right? You know, and we think evangelism is like a debate, right? And so if I'm called to evangelize, it means I'm called to debate people. And no, he didn't say you will be the lawyer. He says you will be my witnesses. All the witness does, the witness tells what she saw, what she heard, what she experienced. That's how we evangelize. We're witnesses to the reality of God in our lives. the reality of God in our lives, how God has saved us and blessed us, and the blessings God gives us through our wonderful Catholic Church, just to share that with others as a witness. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to argue with them. You don't even have to answer all their questions. You know, if you give that witness, you're gonna leave them with a few questions. They're gonna think, wow, it seems like maybe, at least in that person's life, God seems real. In that person's life, the Catholic Church seems alive. Who would have thought? I never thought such a thing until I met this person and heard them talk about their faith, about their experience, about their love for Jesus, their love for the Catholic Church. I'm going to challenge you with an easy way to evangelize. Well, it's kind of easy and it's kind of hard. I'm going to challenge you with a way to evangelize and transform the world around you through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what that is praying for people. Praying for people. So the next time somebody opens up to you about a difficulty in their life, you know, and they say, oh, I'm so worried about Uncle Harry and he's in the hospital, I want you to say to them, can I pray for you? And I don't mean, can I pray for you, and then later on, hopefully, you remember and you pray. No, pray for them right then and there. Pray for them right then and there. And they say, I'm so worried about my Uncle Harry. And say, can I pray for you? And if they say yes, just pray. Just in simple words, God, heal Uncle Harry. Be with him in the hospital. And his niece here, give her a sense of peace. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name for this. And then you can open up your eyes and see what they're doing. Right? They might look at you and say, did you say you're a Catholic? Are you sure you're not a Baptist? Right? Is the Catholics pray for people? Right? They might say, thank you so much. They might say, you know, boy, I just kind of felt a peace as you prayed. They might say, thank you so much. I feel better already. I'm going to go call Uncle Harry and see how he's doing. Right? This is where we invite the Holy Spirit. We invite the Holy Spirit into our life and say, I want to be an instrument of your work in the lives of others. In the most simple way is through prayer. And if you're a little bit shy about that, just ask the Holy Spirit. Just ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, you could even say, you know, I'm not really good at praying out loud, but if you would let me, I just want to put my hand on your shoulder and just silently, I'm gonna pray for you. Just for a moment. Right? However you're comfortable to do it, ask the Holy Spirit to give you that boldness and give you that faith as you encounter people in need around you to pray for them. I encountered a person on the street asking for money. And I said, you know, they're probably going to spend it on alcohol or drugs, but I'm going to, just as a sign of charity, I'm going to give them a dollar. I felt moved by the Lord. And wouldn't you know, I didn't have a dollar, so I ended up giving them $5. I didn't really want to do that. But I said, what's your name? He said, Patrick. And I said, Patrick, can I pray for you? I said, bless Patrick. Provide for all his needs. I tried to not just, you know, without looking at him, give him some money to assuage my guilt, right? But to reach out to him as a person and find out his name and pray for him. Who knows what would come of that? The Holy Spirit gave me the boldness to do that. Gave me the boldness to do that. So begin to pray, Holy Spirit, come upon me, anoint me, gift me to be your living witness through my words, through my acts of kindness, and especially through prayer. Holy Spirit, give me opportunities to pray for others. And when those opportunities come, give me the courage just to say it out loud or in some way, pray right there in that moment for that person. The third thing, that's we pray to the Holy Spirit to make us holy, to shape our lives in the image of Jesus, to give us power to say yes to grace, yes to His will, yes to His plan. We pray for the Holy Spirit to anoint us with His power and gifts, that through prayer we might evangelize and transform the world. And most importantly, the third way we pray to the Holy Spirit every day is praying with the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says in Romans 8:26, "The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought." But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. We do not know how to pray. This is St. Paul the Apostle, whose prayers converted nations, whose prayers raised the dead and healed the sick. This is St. Paul who says, we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. We desperately need the help of the Holy Spirit to pray fruitfully, interiorly, deeply, in a transformative way. I mentioned that my wife, Mary Jane, is a spiritual director, and a spiritual director does not so much direct you as help you to hear and cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, to discern and receive and respond to the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will energize our prayer. The Holy Spirit will reveal to us the love of the Father. St. Paul says, through the Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. You know, at the heart of our prayer is a deep experience of the Father's love revealed and given through His Son, Jesus Christ. The devil lies to us and convinces us that we have to earn God's love. And these lies can be rooted very deep in our hearts. And we can't just free ourselves from those lies. We need the Holy Spirit in a deep interior way to reveal to us in the depths of our hearts that the Father delights in us. Father has overflowing mercy toward us. I mean, you can hear it with your ears, but you need to receive it in your heart. And the only one who can do that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus in His union with the Father, in His love for the Father, in His love for the world. And through the Holy Spirit, we are united with Jesus in receiving and returning the Father's love. We're united with Jesus in interceding for the world. And the Holy Spirit will give us charisms in our prayer, all kinds of charisms. We'll receive words of knowledge where we know how to pray, words of wisdom. He sometimes will give us the ability to pray in unknown tongues beyond our human language and understanding, to pray mysteries to God. He will empower us to pray prophetically, where we speak into the world the mighty deeds that God wants to do. This is the kind of intimacy and power that the Holy Spirit will draw us into as we learn to pray with Him. But it simply starts by saying, I don't know how to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. I don't know how to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Teach me to pray. Help me to pray. Lead me in my prayer. I want to close with one neat little element in this prayer card that I gave you. And this would be a helpful tool to begin praying a prayer every morning or every day to the Holy Spirit. And the part I really liked about it is in the middle of that prayer, it says, I surrender myself to you and I ask you for the grace to be faithful to your inspirations. To be faithful to your inspirations. I don't know about you, but I often would get good inspirations and I would not respond to them because I would overanalyze them. Know what I'm talking about? So you get this inspiration. It could be just to go thank someone. And you think, well, I don't know if it's the right moment. And maybe it might make them proud if I thank them. I can just analyze and come up with 1,000 reasons not to do that. Or that inspiration, pray for this person. And, well, I'll pray for them later. No, pray now, right? And I'd often do that. And so beginning Pentecost 2014, I started praying this prayer every single day. And I remember I was meeting with my spiritual director, and he's asking me what's going on. And I said, well, you know, lately I have found myself being really responsive to these inspirations from the Holy Spirit. I used to always analyze them, and now I just do it. If I'm inspired and it's good, I do it. And I'm feeling the blessing. And he goes, well, why do you think that's happening? And I thought, I don't know. Let me think about it. And he said, oh, yeah, I've been asking for this every single day for months now. Wow. God really answered that prayer. It really works. So I want to tell you from experience, it works. This prayer really works. And any prayer to the Holy Spirit really, really works, because the Father, like a loving Father, just longs and desires to give us the Holy Spirit. Jesus is desirous of filling us, baptizing us in the Holy Spirit, leading us to walk in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit Himself wants to fill us and transform us. So let us close with that. Maybe we'll close with this whole prayer, and that'll conclude our time together. And I hope I can meet some of you in our fellowship time afterwards. So those who got the prayer card, let's pray it together in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. O Holy Spirit, receive the perfect and complete consecration of my whole being. In all my actions, grant me the grace of being my light, my guide, my strength, and the love of my heart. I surrender myself to you, and I ask you for the grace to be faithful to your inspirations. Holy Spirit, transform me through Mary and with Mary into a true image of Christ Jesus, for the glory of the Father and the salvation of the world. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.